And thanks to you all for coming out this Saturday night in Salt Lake City. And thanks to those who download these talks as podcasts from iTunes. We invite your comments, correspondence, and feedback by emails at utahchristians@gmail.com. We also have a membership class at our website, utahchristians.org. I'd like to thank those that have taken the membership class, become members. We couldn't do what we do without your help and support. Everything is inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Tonight our topic is strengthening the inner man. It is said it's astonishing how much an American family will spend on physical fitness and how little time or interest or money the average American family will invest in spiritual fitness. It's amazing how much attention parents will give to a balanced diet for their child's physical growth and how little attention they'll pay to the child's moral and spiritual growth. Bread for the body, but no food for the soul. Cultivation of the mind, but nothing for the heart. There's so much information out there on how to take care of our physical bodies. The best way of eating, any number of best-selling books on dietary plans, how much exercise, and of what type, cardio, aerobics, anaerobics, how many hours of sleep you should get. And there's nothing wrong with that. The physical body, after all, is the tabernacle for the soul. It's important to keep it in shape, just like your car. It's important to change the oil and service it periodically. Not that you're the car, but the car will get you where you need to go. Having said that, you can be good looking, you can be strong, physically healthy, you can be poster boy, front page of Men's Muscle magazine, and at the same time be weak and weary and desperate inside. Prabhupada compared modern society with all the emphasis on the external to having a bird in a cage, but rather than feeding the bird, spending all of your time polishing the cage itself. The bird, in the meantime, is dying of starvation. At the end of the day, we're not the outer man. We're not the body, but we are the inner man, the spirit soul, the living force inside the body. We are not the body, we are inside the body. We are using the body, but we are not the body. We are not black or white or Christian or Hindu or Muslim or Jew. Someone may have driven here in a Volkswagen, someone else may have driven here in a Pontiac. When I ask you to introduce yourself, you don't introduce yourself, Miss Volkswagen, Mr. Pontiac. That would be a kind of a madness. Just as we're not the car that we drove here, and we wouldn't introduce ourselves that way, simply in the deepest sense of the word, we're not these bodies either, black, white, Christian, Hindu. We are the driver of the car, but we're not the car. Without the driver, the car can't go anywhere. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Natu evahum jatu nasham natvam neme janabhibhyaha. Never was there a time when I did not exist. So this is God speaking, so that's not anything new for us. We all know that God's eternal, but he goes on to say that as his parts and parcels, as emanations from him, you are also eternal, I am also eternal, we are all eternal. Now, everyone has experienced, and the older you are, the more often you experience this, routinely bending over in the morning, and all of a sudden, you pull a muscle in your back. You can't straighten up. The pain goes on and on and on for a couple of days until it subsides. A few days later, you reach up, and there's another pain that appears in your shoulder. You can't lift that for a couple of days. Another day, your knee locks up. What is it that makes your extremities vulnerable to injury and pain? Here's our message tonight. Your core is weak. There are physical training programs which are called core fitness. There are yoga schools which are called core power yoga. They're based on the principle that if your inner core is not strong, then your extremities will be weak and vulnerable. If you learn to engage your core muscles, you'll find the strength to get through the day. You'll find the posture whereby all the parts of the body are working together seamlessly, stress-free. Any physical therapist will tell you that if you engage in core exercises like the plank pose in yoga, the boat pose, the crow pose, or even push-ups and sit-ups are core exercises, those will align your body. They will align your spine and your hips and prevent injuries to your back and your shoulders. If we make a daily habit of doing these exercises, find the time and space in our schedule to do them, they're going to help us tremendously. But if we don't, things are not going to change. We're going to remain weak in our core. If we don't get strong within our core, then injuries to our extremities could become more frequent and more serious. An expert on core exercises, Martha Purdy, wrote in a book, quote, "It's important to build core stability first. You want to get the deeper muscles working first." She says that when you have a strong core, everything else will fit into place on top of it, meaning your overall fitness will improve, making you less prone to injuries down the road. She goes on, "Even though it's easy to presume that when we're moving, our extremities do most of the work, the opposite is true. The most movement starts at the center and moves outward. A rock-solid center will help ensure that your movements are strong and pain-free. Keeping strong core muscles will ensure that everything stays protected as you move through the day." And she finishes up here by saying, "If your core is strong, you will be hard-pressed not to carry yourself with confidence. A tall, upright posture exudes strength. It gives the impression that this person is in control of their life. It really is about working from the inside out." In the same way, the inner core is who we are. It's our identity. The inner man is meant to control and discipline the outer man. When we have a strong inner man, it integrates our outer faculties, the mind, the senses, the emotions, and engages them in the service of the Supreme from whom we came. We are not bodies having a spiritual experience. We are spirits having a bodily experience. Our problem is that we're trying to do everything with our extremities, the flesh and the blood, and not engaging the inner core. If you want to eliminate unnecessary outer injuries and sufferings of the body and the mind, then allow the inner command center to improve your posture of faith. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The Bhagavad Gita recommends that we control the outer self with the inner self. If you'll engage your core by chanting the Maha Mantra, you'll walk in health, you'll walk in confidence, you'll walk upright, and you'll move forward towards your destiny. Dr. Maxwell Maltz has gained quite notable fame through his popular self-help book called Psycho-Cybernetics. Now, that's based on his work as a plastic surgeon. And listen to how he describes the event where he became interested in the core person. "One day, many years ago, a woman in her mid-20s came to my office. She had a deep indented scar on her left cheek, a constant reminder of an automobile accident she'd been in. She looked unhappy with herself and her life. Who wouldn't be in her situation?" I asked myself. As a kid, looking in the mirror when she brushed her teeth or combed her hair, she saw a perfectly normal face and began to take it for granted. Now, when she looks in the mirror, she must think, "God, I look awful. I used to have a normal face, and now I have two entirely different cheeks." I told her I'd removed the scar, and after surgery, she looked fine once more. "Don't worry," I said, "we'll take good care of you." She asked how she would look, and I reassured her and tried to soothe her fears. Later, we performed the operation. After a week's time, she came back. I took off the bandages and handed her a mirror. Her scarred cheek was a thing of the past. Then I waited for her reaction. Many patients are overjoyed when they first see their new, improved image. But her reaction was tentative, uncertain. She expressed no real positive emotion. I waited a few seconds and then I said, well, what do you think? Do you like it? She responded, I don't really see any improvement. I was stunned. My surgery had been totally successful. Would you like to see the pictures of your face before the operation? I asked her. She looked at the before pictures and then surveyed her new face in the hand mirror. It looks better, she admitted, but I don't feel better. She didn't feel better because she was not the body. You know, we say my body, my cheeks, my face, my knee, my elbow, my ankle. If we were the body, why wouldn't we say I body, or I head, or I arm, or I wrist, or I ankle, or I elbow? We say my, which means that we're not the body, but rather we're the possessor thereof. We're infinitesimal spirit souls. Krishna, or God, is the supreme spirit from whom we emanate like sparks from a fire. We are constitutionally parts, and he is the whole. We are defined as the core and not the extremities like the arms, legs, and head. When the spiritual core begins to serve the supreme spiritual whole, that's called yoga or yoking. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And here we have three elements for peace and harmony. The inner core, which is ourselves, the supreme whole who created us in his image, and what brings it all together is what? Bhakti, or service. Jai Krishna has a band which appears every year at the Color Festival, and he has a song which has one verse. When I look into your eyes, I see a shining soul. When I look into your eyes, I see a spirit soul. That's the song, and then he chants Hare Krishna. And for weeks afterwards, it's going around in my head. So one day I sat down, I said, I'm going to add some verses to that. I don't know if Jai Krishna is going to elect to use them or not, but here goes. When I look into your eyes, I see a spirit soul. When I look into your eyes, I see a shining soul. I see a soul that's never born, a spark that never dies, that yearns to fly back home, back to the spiritual skies. From dust you come to dust you go, was not spoken of the soul. This body, like a set of clothes, wears out and gets disposed. A flame of light and love gives life to the machine. A candle never snuffed, subtle, sublime, unseen. The soul has no beginning, ending it has none, smaller than the atom, brighter than the sun. When I look into your eyes, I see a shining soul. When I look into your eyes, I see a spirit soul. I see a soul that's never born, a spark that never dies, that yearns to fly back home, back to the spiritual skies. It all comes down to this. When the inner core serves the supreme in love and devotion, it's like core yoga. It's like core fitness. When the inner core gets connected with the supreme spirit through divine service, the outer physical body and senses will click into perfect health and harmony. The miseries that we suffer are because we're not engaging our spiritual core. We're out of control in our speech, always saying things that we shouldn't, stressed in our mind, suffering hypertension and high blood pressure, flying off the handle sometimes, short-tempered with our spouse, pushing our children away, we're grumpy at our job. It's not surprising. It's like the man who, he knew he was in his car, but he used to spend hours and hours, all of his time off. He would wash his car, polish his car. He had fancy hubcaps. He had dual carbs coming out of the hood, little dice hanging from the rearview mirror. He spent so much time on his car, they began to identify with it. And one day he went out, and someone just gave him a little dent, and he became enraged. Flew out of his car and he screamed at the other driver, "You hit me!" No, I don't think he was hit. I just think it was that extremity. But look at what happened, how he misidentified with the extremity and opening himself up to rage and misery. Heard a story, one beautiful day, an elephant was standing by the shade of a tree eating its leaves. A small fly came buzzing by and landed on the elephant's ear, trying to provoke him. But the elephant refused to be provoked. In spite of all the buzzing of the fly around him, he just stayed calm and continued to eat, not paying any attention to the fly. Fly flew around, buzzed louder and louder and louder, and yet the elephant did not seem to take the bait. And this bewildered the fly. He said, finally, "Are you deaf?" "No," the elephant answered. "Well, why aren't you bothered by my buzz?" the fly asked. The elephant said, "Well, why are you so restless and noisy? Why can't you just stay still for a few moments?" The fly answered, "Everything I see, hear, and feel attracts my attention, and all noises and movements around me affect my behavior. But what is your secret? How can you stay so calm and still?" The elephant stopped eating and said, "I am inside this elephant's body, but I am not an elephant. I am the living force within the body. The annoyances to the body cannot touch my internal core. My elephant's body is only a covering for the inner core. What is annoying to the outer body, to the extremities, does not have to be annoying to the inner core. Therefore, I can ignore disturbances, including your buzz." Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada says here, people in general, especially in this age of Kali, are enamored by the external energy of the Lord, and they wrongly think advancement in terms of the outer body will bring happiness. They have no knowledge that the material or external nature is very strong, for everyone is bound by the stringent laws of material nature. But the inner man is happily part and parcel of the Lord, and thus his natural function is to render immediate service to the Lord. Instead of trying to satisfy the outer man, he has to satisfy the inner man, who is the perennial servant of the Lord. Now, what's the alternative? It's to be enslaved by the urgings and the appetites of the outer body and the mind. We've all seen movies where slaves are being dragged through the marketplace in chains. They're dragged along, jerked along, their sores and injuries on every part of their bodies. Their minds are freaking out. They're ugly, awkward, off balance, terrified. Now, there's a huge difference between being enslaved by the senses and being a servant of the Supreme Being. One way or another, we have to be dependent because we're tiny. But being dependent upon the Lord, who is our Creator, our loving Father, and walking in His steps is going to be a whole lot better than being enslaved by the demands of the senses, mind, and appetites. The service to the senses, it is said, is neither pensionable nor terminable. What does that mean? It says the more you serve them, the more you become enslaved. The worse it gets. Give the senses an inch and they'll take a mile. I read something on the internet the other day about heroin addicts. It said there that the best heroin high was the first time. No other high will ever be as high as the first one. Every other high after that, down to the point where you don't even enjoy it, is simply trying to recapture that first high, which you'll never do. People are addicted for years and years and years. Their lives and the lives of their loved ones are destroyed. And it all boils down to the fact that they're just trying to re-experience that first high, which by Maya's arrangement will never come again. On the other hand, the first time someone walks into the temple and chants Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, they begin to experience freedom. In the 1960s, the United States government spent millions and millions of dollars to try to free young people from LSD without any success. Within a few hours after following Prabhupada's advice to chant Hare Krishna under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master, tens of thousands of young people became completely free of drugs, alcohol, illicit sex, marijuana. Now here's another truth about the inner core. The world is full of tensions, friction, and strife. One country to another, one race to another, one species to another. We need brotherhood. That's easily achieved through core power. Your inner core is connected to all other living beings. We are one spiritual family regardless of the outer covering. Prabhupada says here in Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 27th chapter, 27th verse, there are various species of living entities, but a devotee doesn't see the outer covering. He sees the inner soul inhabiting the body. Because each and every soul is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he doesn't see any difference between one or another. That's the vision of a learned devotee. As explained in the Bhagavad Gita, a devotee doesn't see the difference between a learned Brahmin, a dog, an elephant, or a cow, because he knows that the body is the outer covering only, and that the soul is actually part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. The inner core does not live by bread like the outer body. It is the Word of God, the name of God, and the service to God which gives strength to the inner man. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. John Osteen used to say, isn't it interesting how some people feed their outer body 3 hot meals a day, but feed the inner man a cold snack once a week? Our message today is don't be well fed on the outside, but on the inside be weak, fainting, aimless, undisciplined. The real strength comes from the inner man. It is said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is enacted from the spiritual platform, and thus this sound vibration surpasses all lower strata of consciousness, namely sensual, mental, and intellectual. When you spend time chanting Hare Krishna, you are directly associating with God, who is dancing on the tip of your tongue. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's why Sanjaya, at the conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita, says to Dhritarashtra, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yata Parta Dhanurdhara. Wherever there is Krishna, and wherever there's devotees with the name of Krishna coming off their tongues, there is victory, there is strength, there is morality, and there is abundance. Our encouragement this evening is to take all that in when you don't need it, so that you will have it to come out when you do need it. When you connect your inner core with Him in loving service, you come to know Him not as remote, distant, judgmental. Rather, you come to know Him as your provider, your shelter, your uplifter, your encourager, your healer. He doesn't either, from His point of view, see the outer man. He doesn't see you in terms of your skin color, in terms of your weight, your economic status, your gender, even your religion, or your species. God sees the inner self. He wants to work with your inner core to bring you up higher. He wants to strengthen your inner core so that you'll become free from misery. He wants to improve your spiritual posture so that you'll walk upright in faith and confidence. He wants to make and mold you so that in this life you can live abundantly, joyfully, peacefully, and meaningfully, and in the next life go back home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much for your kind attention. If you receive this message, please repeat after me. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare.